Thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Father, we thank you for your holy written word. We thank you for the precious Holy Spirit who abides in us, who guides us into all truth. Father, we thank you that you've never left us alone. You are always with us. You are always in us. You're always for us. And nothing can be against us. And we thank you this evening, Father, that we have your help, the helper, the comforter, the Holy Spirit. And we thank you that he's helping us mightily. Father, we thank you that as we share this evening, that we'll do it in the strength of the Holy Spirit. Father, speak through my lips. Father, speak to the hearts of the people. And Father, at the end of it all, you be glorified. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. We give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. How's everybody doing tonight? Amen. Now, I see a couple of people looking at me like you're thinking, man, Pastor Joel, you spent a little bit more too much time laying out on the beach. Anyway, how's everybody doing? Everybody's doing good? My name is Tommy Brown. I'm not Pastor Joel. I am the outreach pastor for this church. And tonight I get this really neat opportunity to talk to you and about what we do, actually about who we are, what we do, and why we do it. I think in the past we've talked about Poindexter a whole lot, and so some of you, if you've been around for any period of time, any length of time, you've got some idea, at least some idea of what we do. Because I think we've done a pretty good job of sharing what it is we do and where we're doing it. But I'm going to give you a little bit of information on that. But then I'm going to talk about why it is we do what we do. And that's the part that really, really, really excites me tonight. Amen? So don't go to sleep on me yet. It's going to get good. Praise the Lord. You know, about 4 years ago, Pastor Joel came to me, and I went to him. It was one of those things that we met, and he expressed that it was his heart's desire for this church to get involved or become more involved in community outreach. Now, we had for many, many years, if you've been around it, you know we've been involved with global missions for some time. I mean, really, really involved. We've given a lot. We've gone a lot. We've ministered a lot abroad. But at that time, we were not really involved with community outreach. And he said, Tommy, I really want to get us involved. I believe that as a church, it is our responsibility to be involved in our communities. And so he said, listen, I'm going to trust you to just kind of scout out and look around and find out where it is we want to plug in. And when you do that, get with me. And I did. And so we chose an area in Jackson called the Poindexter Park community. And actually, this area is a relatively small area, and we chose it because it is a small area, and we really wanted to make an impact on the community. I mean, we really wanted them to know that we were there, and we wanted to know that we were there. We wanted to be able to measure the effectiveness of what we were doing. So we figured we would start small, and then as we grow and become excellent at what we're doing in that place, and when we start to see life change in that community, then we'll move to the next community and expand to the next community and the next community until we're doing what Jesus told us to do, to go into all the world. And so when we started, we began by going out into the park and just setting up tables and grilling a couple of hamburgers and hot dogs, just sharing them with the people in the park. At the same time, we had a group who would go out into the community and knock knock on doors or engage people walking down the street and just tell them, you know, tell them who we are and tell them we wanted to share the love of God with them, pray with them, just whatever it took. We just wanted to go. Go. That's what Jesus said, go. So that's what we did. We went. We had a handful of people who were just passionate about getting out there and doing what Jesus told us to do. And I think we finally grew to about, 20, 30 people just kind of rotating out each third Saturday. And since that time, we have grown. See, it is the heart of Jesus for us to impact lives. I mean, it is. It really is. Jesus never intended for us to get saved and find a nice little comfortable place in a nice church where the seats are comfortable, kind of like when we go to the movie theater and get a little popcorn and a little, you know what I'm talking about. That was never the intent. Now, he did want us to come into a place where we could fellowship together, where we could come learn the word of God, hear the word of God, and grow up spiritually. But ultimately, his goal, his plan, his desire for us was for us to do what he did and go into our world. And so that's what we started doing. And so we grew. We've grown since that time, 4 years ago, from a group of people who were just wanting to go out and get our hands on something and share something with somebody, to now we are impacting lives on a large scale. There are about right in the neighborhood of about 300 kids, 300 students, elementary students that we are impacting every single week. Isn't that amazing? And so I'm going to share a couple of things that we've done since that time. We've purchased a building. That building used to be the Trustmark Bank, and that's what it looked like before our wonderful dream teamers got in there and cleaned that rascal out, and we renovated it. But we purchased the building because we wanted to be a part of the community. There are a lot of people in that community who have gone in and really wanted to do some things. They've done some outreach, but we went in and we did a lot of research and we learned, man, listen, people, you're not going to make a real impact, a true impact, until you commit yourself to the community. It's just the way it is. And so we bought the building. People started saying, what are y'all doing? Who are you? What do you mean coming to this neighborhood? And we said, we mean to show you that Jesus loves you. Okay. And so we went and bought the building, and the people were going like, okay, you bought a building. Plenty of people buy buildings. Who are you and what are you going to do? So we went ahead and renovated it. And right now, I'll be honest with you, and I'm not trying to brag because I can't. I don't have any bragging rights. It's all about Jesus. It is the best looking building in the community. And the people in the community know it. And so they appreciate that. They appreciate the fact that people would come in and invest in a community that, as you can tell by the building right behind it, that is seeing more in other words, nobody's investing in the community. There are buildings that are boarded up, buildings that are falling apart, and those kinds of things. So it communicated the message that we wanted to communicate, and that message is that, man, listen, we care about you. Why do we care about you? Because Jesus does. And it's become a great conversational piece. People want to know, why would you do this? And we get to tell them it's because Jesus loves you. So we got the building, and so now we partnered with not one, but two elementary schools in that area. One is Poindexter Park Elementary, and where we've gone in and purchased somewhere in the neighborhood of about $55,000 worth of technology so that the children would have the tools they need to succeed in life. That's huge, man. And we did that because we were able to do that because we've got wonderful people like you who are generous givers, who care about people other than yourselves. That's just the truth. It's just the way it is. And I'll be honest with you, in a lot of cases, most of the elementary schools have partners. They do. They have partners that come in, but their partnerships are limited because their resources are limited. We are fortunate in that God has blessed us to be a church with big givers, and he's increasing us to give more. And so what we've done in the school is something that they haven't seen a whole lot of. And it's all because of God. Jesus gets the glory. So we bought smart boards and computers for the classroom. Right now we're conducting a good news club twice a week there, where we're teaching the kids in the after school program the word of God. Amen. Amen. That's right. We're invited to do that because they've seen our hearts. We've got people in the school who are reading to kids weekly. We've got, last Christmas, we bought a toy for every child in the fourth and fifth grades over there. Several toys, actually. And then we've provided school uniforms for students in the school at Poindexter who needed them. Several thousand dollars worth of school uniforms. And so what we're doing is we are impacting the community intentionally. And what I mean is, we're not just going in and doing something just to be doing it. We're not going in and preparing a bag of groceries and just handing them out. When we first went into the community, our goal was to find out where the gap was, to find out that area that was underserved or not being served, because you got a lot of nonprofits in areas like that. And so we wanted to find out the area that was not being served and then to start to serve that area. And we found out that in order to legitimately meet a need, in order to make sure we're good stewards of the resources that you guys are giving us, we wanted to identify what areas were legitimate needs. And we found out that those areas were the areas that affected the kids, the school, the kids that are on the school lunch program, who, when they go home, you see what I'm talking about? The program is not there. Or on the weekends, those kinds of things. So we're preparing weekend meals for the kids, those kinds of things. And so we're making an impact in our community. And then in George Elementary, we're preparing about 60 meals. It's actually this two meals for 30 kids each week, about 30 kids. So that's 60 meals a week, which comes up to around 240 meals monthly. We bought Christmas toys for 100, all the students in the whole school. We bought toys, you bought toys for them. I mean, big toys like bicycles and you know, notepads and all those kinds of things. You blessed them tremendously. It's because of you we're able to do this. And a pastor whose heart is just big towards doing those things. And so we've landscaped the property. We've painted the hallways. We've painted the chalkboards, the ledges on the chalkboards, the stages. We've purchased banners. We've got a couple of dream teamers who went in and painted mascots in the hallway, murals, mascots in the hallway. We bought printers for the office, books for the library, and school uniforms for the kids there as well. And so I think you need to know that. I think you need to know that when you give to the Life Poindexter, your dollars are making a difference. They really are. They're making a difference in the lives of the kids and in the lives of the children's families. Now, at the center, right now, we've got GED classes going. And we've got people who are passionate about pursuing their education. And I mean, they show up with a great attitude. Man, it makes me want to sit down at the desk and get my pencil and pen out and take a class. We've got snack bags for people who live on the streets, who don't stay in the shelters at night. We're set up for computer classes. And then in the communities, we distribute and have distributed, I mean, just countless numbers of grocery bags. We've picked up hundreds of bags of trash off the streets. We've painted houses, pressure washed a house, cleared overgrown lots, cut and trimmed a number of yards over the last couple of years. And we've prayed for a lot of people for their needs to be met. And so we are in our community. We are impacting our community. You are. We are. We're doing it in a big way. And so these are the things that we do on a weekly basis, the thing I just mentioned to you. But then we've got something that we do, what we call our big events. Each month, we do what we call Third Saturday Outreach. Now, we call it Third Saturday Outreach because we do it on Third Saturdays. Very good. And the reason why we do it on Third Saturdays is we found out is that the consistency is very important. Every third Saturday. It's very important that people see you all of the time, because what we're trying to do is build relationships. And in order to build relationships, you have to be consistent. Oftentimes, people's lives are riddled with broken relationships and broken promises and all of these good intentions that people don't follow up with. You know what I'm talking about? And so we want to break that. We want them to see something different. We want them to see our faces all the time, whether they like it or not. And they like it. They enjoy it. We're about building relationships. And so every third Saturday, we have a group of people who come out and go out into the community and meet the community. We do things like go out and cut grass. I just mentioned we paint houses. We go to the homes and knock on the doors and take bags of groceries or fresh produce or just knock and say, hey, can I pray with you about something? And while you think that might be awkward or odd or uncomfortable, I'm telling you that the community welcomes us with open arms. When I was in Tulsa at Rhema, we went to North Tulsa doing evangelism, door-to-door evangelism. And we found out that even people who are non-Christians, even people who are Muslims or people of other religions, we found out that a key tool for witnessing is praying for people. I mean, people will accept prayer when they won't accept your literature. Really? I mean, they will. They'll ask. I remember going to a door, and this guy, he was a Muslim. He told us he was. But he and his whole family were sick. They had like a cold or the flu or something like that. So we knocked on the door and we talked to him. I can't remember who it was, but we talked to him. And he said, we saw right then he was kind of coughing and the wife was in the back or something like that. We said, listen, can we pray for you? He said, yeah, wait a minute. So he went in the door and closed the door. And after a while, he opened the door back and he brought his entire family out to the front door for us to pray for them. Why is that so effective? I mean, why is going into the community, why is getting out of your comfort zone, why is it effective? It's because Jesus wants to reveal himself to people. And I've got some notes. Here's the deal. Let me tell you something. How many of you are saved? Just about everybody in this place. Okay, let me tell you what happened. When you said yes to Jesus, when you invited Jesus to come into your heart, to be your Lord, to become your Lord and Savior, he came to live in you. Now, I want you to think about, what did Jesus do when he walked on the earth? He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He went about preaching and teaching and healing the sick. Is that not what he did? Right? Well, that same Jesus, how many of you believe that he's still alive? Amen. How many of you believe that he's living in you? Amen. Well, that same Jesus who lives in you is the same. There's no two Jesuses. There might be a Jesus and a Jesus. Jesus lives on the other side. He lives in... It's the same Jesus, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He lives in you, and when he was walking on the earth, man, he lived to go into his world and to preach the gospel. He lived to lay hands on the sick. He lived to pray for you. He's still praying for you. He lived to show people what the Father looked like, introducing people to the Father and to the life that the Father has for them. It's the same Jesus, and he's living on the inside of you. And so he still longs to go. And he still longs to heal. And he still longs to deliver. And he still longs to set free. And he longs to do it through you. And so no Christian will ever be satisfied with just sitting in the service. There are people who you don't even realize why your life is just not comfortable. There's something that's just not right. You won't ever be comfortable, because if Jesus lives in you, he longs to go into the world. And if you'll cooperate with him, you will see miracles and signs and wonders. You will see people's lives change. You will see the life of God being transferred right into that person's life and darkness being dispelled. I've seen it, man. And it's the most amazing thing in the world. I ain't supposed to be preaching. Okay, so here we go. So here's what we got. Third Saturdays. Listen, so we have a group of people who cut yards and just do all that kind of stuff. And while it seems like this might be tough stuff, I don't want to go and cut somebody else's yard. My yard is this tall. Really, it is. Most of the time, it is. My wife has to get on to me about that. But I'm saved. While it seems like that's something that you don't, that's not worth you taking your time to do, I'm telling you that the fruit is huge. Because while you're doing that, some kid walks up and he talks to you and he says he wants you to pray for him. You walk up. I was painting a house one day. I was painting. I'm trying to talk like somebody who is educated. I was painting a house one day, and this guy walks up and he starts talking to me. I'm just out in the neighborhood painting a house over Hunt Street. And he walks up to me and he starts talking. And right in the middle of conversation, just in my heart, I thought I needed to ask him if he had ever accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And he said, no. What does painting a house have to do with getting folks saved? It has everything to do with it. I said, sir, would you like to pray the prayer of salvation? Listen, you don't have to jump through hoops. All you got to do is ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior, and he'll do it right now. And the man said, yes. And he did, and I did, and we did, and he is, and glory be to God. That's what it's all about. That's what outreach is all about. We've got a young man named Ron McNair. Ron is in here. Where's Ron? He's not in here. Ron said one day, and I mentioned this before. He said, "Brother Tom, I just feel in my heart I need to." He's a barber and a hairstylist. I think he does everything. Anyway, he needs to do something. But he said, I want to do something down at Poindexter, but I think what I want to do is what I do. Can I bring a chair down there and set it up and just cut hair? Just cut these guys' hair once every other week. Can I do that?" I said, "Yeah, Ron, you can do that." And so Ron set up his chair, and to this day, I mean, he's ministered to several people, but there are two guys who have prayed the prayer of salvation. I got to tell you this. Saturday, we were out doing the fellowship meal during the third Saturday outreach, and this guy walks up to me, and he reaches out his hand to shake my hand, and I reach my hand out to shake his hand like I know him, and I don't know him, but, you know, you don't say, "I don't know you." He says, "Hey, man, how you doing?" I said, "Hey, I'm fine." He said, "My name is so-and-so." I said, "My name is Tommy." He said, "Man, you don't remember me, do you?" I said, "No, I don't remember you." He said, "I was saved inside your building, sitting in the barber's chair while Ron cut my hair. He prayed for me to." This man is like 35 or 40 years old, and you should have seen his face when he said that, man. He was like a child who had got up on Christmas morning and found whatever it was that he was believing his parents or whoever for. What's outreach got to do with saving lives? It's got everything to do with it. That's why we do it. So on third Saturdays, we're looking for a group of people. We're looking for 100 people who will just commit to being placed on the schedule and come out and help us to serve this community. We want to increase our impact there. We want to. It's one Saturday out of the month. One Saturday. 2 hours. 3 hours. 3 hours out of a month where you can come and allow Jesus in you to reach out and touch somebody's life. Don't you think that's worth it?
Amen.
Amen. It's worth it. It's worth it to me. Praise the Lord. And so that's what we do. We're talking about big events. And then twice a year, we do what we call Fall Fest and Spring Fest. We do the Spring Fest and the and the Fall. Okay, anyway. So the Spring Fest is a festival where we invite the entire community to come out and to just have a good time. Now, why do we do that? Just like in your neighborhood, two doors down, there are people, well, maybe in most cases, there are people you don't even know. You know, and what we're trying to do is kind of twofold. We want people in that community to get to know each other. We want them to redefine or reestablish this whole idea about community, people helping each other. But we also want to get to know them. Listen, you cannot do effective outreach. I've learned this. It's the biggest lesson, the most valuable lesson I've learned since I've been out there. You cannot be effective at reaching people's lives without building relationships with them. You can spend all the money in the world, and lots of organizations, lots of churches even, have found that out after spending years and many, many, many dollars, some people millions of dollars, pouring money into those areas and not seeing the fruit. Why? Because you cannot do it. You cannot be effective without intentionally building relationships, personal relationships with the people. Why? Because people don't care what you know until they know that you care. You don't know enough to convince people that you can speak into their lives until you have fostered, built a relationship with them. It's just the way it is. Everybody, every organization is crying now. Listen, we've tried everything. We tried all of the social organizations. We've tried everything. But we need people who will come and spend time with these folk. We are intentionally reaching the children in that community and their families. We're trying to build relationships with them and their families. And we know that the best way to do that is by weaving ourselves into the fabric of their lives. How do you do that? You be where they are. You be intentional about building relationships. Why? Because they don't care what you know. They don't. Until they know that you care for them. The moment they know you care for them, then you're able to impact their lives because they open up their hearts. This is about Jesus. Remember, Jesus lives in you. Jesus wants to change lives. Jesus came to give life and give it more abundantly. Amen. Glory to God. So, this spring, April the 12th, look at that. Isn't that neat? April the 12th, we're going to do a spring fest, and we're looking for some folks to come out and to sign up. This is the big serve. This is like we do it twice a year. We're wanting as many of you as want to, at least 250 of you. We got 200 last year to come out and to help us put on this spring fest. We're going to have food and concessions. We're going to be petting zoo and pony rides. I think we were working on the ponies. And games and all those kinds of things. And so right after this service, we're going to have people signing you up on the right in these cut-ins. We're going to have people signing you up on the left in these cut-ins. And we're gonna do the, I'll give you instructions when we get ready to do that. Right now, I want to move right along. So we want to do that. We want to see you come out. You need to come out. Listen, you need to come out. I'm telling you, this is another lesson. I've learned a lot of lessons. The Lord has been teaching me while I'm out in the community. He's teaching me, and I just forgot what he taught me last. All right, he forgives me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know. For I heard somebody sing. There you go. All right, good. So anyway, so we're going to do that when we get ready to pray. Okay. Anyway, so listen, I want to thank all of our monthly partners, guys. You guys are so amazing. Thank you so much for what you do, because we couldn't do what we do if you were not doing what you do. Thank you so very much. I want to talk about, just for a minute, something that the Lord just shared with me, and then he's going to bring back to my remembrance whatever that was that he told me to tell you. We talked about what we do. We talked about what we do, what we've done, but I want you to understand tonight, this is an opportunity I have to help you to see something that the Lord has helped me to see. God, Jesus, help me see this. Long before Jesus said, go into all the world, long before he gave us the Great Commission, Jesus went, or he came. We know in the Gospels, Jesus was a man who was moved with compassion. I mean, he was moved with compassion. Now, you know, some of us have compassion, and some of us have a little compassion, and some of us have a little more compassion, and some of us have a lot of compassion. But Jesus was a man who was full of compassion. And we see that in the Gospels. We see where Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw the people were hungry because they had spent 3 days with him listening to the gospel. And his compassion for them moved him to feed them. He didn't just have compassion. He was moved by his compassion. He allowed his compassion to move him. We know that he had compassion on the leper. The leper came to him and said, I know if it's your will that you can heal me, Master. And Jesus said, I will be clean. And Jesus' compassion moved him to the streets. We know that he spent time with the children. His disciples says, listen, you little snotty-nosed rascals, y'all get on out of the way. The master's busy. I'm paraphrasing, of course. And Jesus said, No, let them come to me. You don't understand, man. Such is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them too. In fact, if a person doesn't humble themselves like these kids, they won't even see the kingdom of God. So his compassion moved him into the streets. His compassion moved him to heal the woman with the issue of blood. In fact, there was a woman with an issue of blood. Then there was another woman with a man issue. There was another woman who's had an issue with demons, and he cast those out of her. And there was a woman whose daughter had issues, and he healed all of them. His compassion moved him. He didn't just say, I'm so sorry. Hope you get over it. Dude, don't come with me to me with that, your skin falling off. He didn't do that. His compassion moved him to reach out and to touch that man and heal him. Amen. His compassion moved him to release a woman whose accusers were about to kill her, to restore her faith. His compassion moved him to go to Samaria and to talk to a woman at the well who had already been through four men and husbands and had, you see what I'm talking about? His compassion moved him. Jesus said something in John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I want you to know that the thief has stolen and killed and destroyed a whole bunch of stuff in people's lives all over this world. And some of those people don't know that, I mean, they really believe, the devil has fooled them into believing that God has something to do with that. They say, you know, can I do this, Pastor Marcus? It burns me up when I'm at a home-going service and somebody accused God of taking a... If God needed a flower, he'd plant one. I'm sorry. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And there are people who've been robbed of the life that God has for them. Jesus came that people might see the Father in the light of who he is. So he came and he was moved with compassion. And there was a guy, Jesus was teaching one time, and this lawyer came up and, you know how lawyers are. Just kidding. I know some good lawyers. Some of my best friends are lawyers. No. And he was determined to prove a point. Because he was a man. And so he said, Master, he came to Jesus and said, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, well, what does the scripture say? What does the word say? He said, I know what the scripture says to me. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, you say it right. Then he said, Jesus, but who is my neighbor? Now, Jesus is telling us what compassion looks like. Well, who's my neighbor? And then Jesus tells a parable of the Good Samaritan. He talks about a priest who was on his way to Jericho, and he sees this man. There was a man on the way to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. They jumped on him and took his money. They robbed him. And so the priest goes, and he's on his way, and he sees the man, and he walks right past him on the other side of the road. Now, I cannot imagine he's a priest. There's something in him that just has to feel something for this man, maybe, should. And then there's this Levite, man. This Levite comes, and he does the same. He comes by, man, he sees the man, and he passes by him as well. I can't imagine that he didn't have some kind of something for the man. And then Jesus talks about this Samaritan. Now, the man who fell among thieves, he doesn't say who the man was. I don't think that's important. It's not important. And then the Samaritan, he doesn't give him a name or anything, so I don't think that part is important. What's important is that the Samaritan looks at this man, and he sees him, and he goes over to him, and he binds up his wounds, and he puts him on his donkey or whatever he's riding is, puts him in his Cadillac, and he takes him to the nearest hotel, and he gives money to the innkeeper, and he says, listen, whatever this costs that I have not already given you, when I come back through, you just give me the bill and I'll take care of it. And so Jesus asks a question. He says, so which one is this man's neighbor? Somebody and the law is, and they say it, the Samaritan, the good Samaritan. And then Jesus says something. He says, yes. He said, you said right. Now go and do likewise. In other words, Jesus says, listen, your neighbor is whoever needs help. And compassion has an action to it. And you say, well, it's not my fault that person is poor. It's not my fault. And this is what Jesus taught me. He said, do you know, because let me tell you what, all over this country, man, there are places that look like parts of Jackson. We just got back from St. Louis, and it's a beautiful city. We went to the St. Louis Dream Center to serve about 12 of us. Beautiful city, but for some reason, I guess industry changed, something happened to the economy, and there are all of these abandoned buildings, and there's the area where we served is an area that is called the Blood District because of its reputation for being a high crime area. They say at one point it was listed among the top 10 most violent places in America. And so all over the country and all over the world, there are places like this. And so I understand that there are people who live in really nice neighborhoods and have a pretty good life, or there are people who are busy with their own lives and they feel like it's not my problem, it's not my concern. But the Lord showed me this and said, do you realize that when Jesus came from heaven, Jesus's compassion moved him long before it moved him in the Gospels, where we read where it moved him to lay hands on the sick and heal them. He says his compassion first moved him from heaven, which was the most comfortable place in all the world. And Jesus sat on the throne of God, which has got to be the most comfortable recliner that anybody has. His compassion moved him from perfect heaven to earth, where destruction, now earth was intended to look like heaven. It was intended to reflect heaven. But when Adam sinned and Adam fell, then all of creation, all of earth started to reflect the fall of Adam. Death and destruction. And so earth at its best looked like the hood to Jesus. But he was willing to leave that comfortable place where everything is perfect. He was willing to give up his title as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was willing to give up his role as the chief executive officers of all the angels in heaven. He was willing to take upon himself an earthly body, yuck, and to be made lower than the angels, that he might suffer death for you and me. You want to talk about getting out of your comfort zone? That is it in his grandeur. But for the joy that was set before him, which was making sure that we could live the life that God intended, he was willing to do it. It was worth it to him. He wanted to come and to give life and give it more abundantly. So he was willing to put off his glorified body, knowing that when he came to the earth, that the earth was the exact opposite of heaven. That when he got here, before he got here, somebody wanted to kill him. And every moment he was here, somebody wanted to kill him. He's the Son of God. He's doing miracles. He's delivering. He's casting out devils. People still wanting to kill him. But he came. When he came to the earth, he didn't look for a nice little comfortable place that resembled heaven. He went from the throne of God to the stable with animals. He chose to do it. Do you think it might have been uncomfortable for him? Well, the Bible tells us that in the Garden of Gethsemane that he sweated drops of blood. Was it hard on his flesh? Yeah, it was hard. He knew he would have to die for you and me. Was it hard? Yeah, it was hard. Was he aware? He's the Son of God. He's also the Son of Man. He bled and died. His compassion moved him from heaven to the throne, to the cross. He went back to the throne, but he had to go to the cross first. Was it tough on his flesh? He had to go to hell. Was it tough? Yeah, it was tough. But was it worth it? Yes, it was worth it. Why? Because life followed it. What are you trying to say, Brother Tommy? I'm trying to tell you that there is a reward for those who will move outside of their comfort zone and allow Jesus to take them into the zone of somebody else's life who needs to experience light, salt, and life. When Jesus was at the well, you remember he was there and his disciples left him to get him something to eat. You remember that? How many of you remember that? And when he came back, you know, he had just finished talking with the woman from Samaria, and man, listen, he told her about the living water. And he knew she was going to go back, and she, because women like to talk. No, just kidding. Just kidding. I'm kidding. Baby, please don't hold that against me. He knew what was going to happen. He knew it was worth it. He knew he had to go to Samaria because it wasn't just about that one woman. Listen, when he convinced her that there was life and living water and that he was the Messiah, he knew that she would go and tell somebody else. Her whole city was changed. When you take time to step into somebody's life zone, you not only affect that person, but you affect that person's family, that their friends, their job. Man, listen, you have the opportunity to bring life into an otherwise lifeless place. Jesus thought it was worth it. I think it's worth it. I've seen people give their lives to Jesus. But this is what I was saying. You remember when he came back and the disciples said, Master, we got your meat. We got your food for you. He says, oh, guys, you don't know. You don't understand. I've got meat that you know not of. My meat is to do the will of the Father and finish the work. There is something that happens when you share the love and the life of God with somebody else. When somebody receives Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, I'm telling you, it's not just about something. There is something that comes alive in you. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I can't explain it, but I'm telling you, it's like a jolt of life in you. And if there's something that's missing in your life and you're a Christian, I can tell you what it is. It is that it's Jesus wanting to get somebody else to the Father. And for every person who will allow him to, he will. Doesn't matter what you look like, where you came from, what happened yesterday. It does not matter. God can take your life and he can bless it and he can multiply it and he can cause nations to be changed. How do you know that? Because I know he's already done it. I've seen it. I've seen it in this little fellow right here, Robert Barry. Man went to India last year. 200 people came to the Lord. And the first night, he preached the gospel. Now, I didn't count them, but the people there said they count them. They said 200, I ain't disputing the word. Well, how did that happen? He went. Was it uncomfortable? Yeah. You should have seen it. Was it worth it? Yes. That's what outreach is all about. We are, Life Poindexter is a way for you to engage your world. Come join us. Amen. Thank you for listening. You guys are so amazing. You're so cool. Before I close, I want to give you some instructions. April the 12th, from 11 to 1 o'clock, we're going to have a big spring fest. This is going to be your opportunity to see the lives that you're going to be a part of changing, whether it's through prayer, through giving, or through going. You can do either one you want to. But I invite you, you owe it to yourself to come out and to be a part of what we're doing at least one time. And once you get there, then Jesus tugs on your heart, then I'm not responsible for that. That's you and Jesus. But I promise you, you'll be glad you did. No doubt about it. Listen, when we dismiss, we've got somebody signing up people for the inflatables, and for the games, and for a cleanup over in this cutout. And over to my right, we'll have somebody signing you up for food and concessions. Got plenty of places to sign up. We will get you out of here on time. So take advantage of this. It's more than just going out and putting on a festival. This is an opportunity to impact this community and to impact heaven by literally helping us to help people to see that God values them enough to bring people from Flowood and Brandon and wherever you're from over to their community to do something just practical to show them that God loves them. Amen? Amen? Amen. Father, we just thank you so much for these wonderful people. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to share the word of God, to share your heart, to share the opportunity to go out into the world. And Father, I thank you that this is not about me. It's not even about so much about Word of Life Church. It's about the kingdom of God. And so I thank you, Father, that every person who has heard will heed the tug on their hearts to do something to impact the kingdom of God, whether it's pray, whether it's give, whether it's go. Father, you know what role they're supposed to play. So that's between you and them. Just you speak to their hearts. We thank you that as they're faithful to do what you've called them to do, that they will see the fruit, not only in that place, but in their own lives. And as they go out and share the love and share the gospel and share praise, whatever it is, with people they don't know and their families, that you will do things in their lives and in their families that will literally just shake them up and impact their worlds, impact their lives. We thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. We give you glory, honor, and praise for it. Amen and amen. Listen, if you're in this place and you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to tell you how simple you can do that. You can pray. You say, Lord, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe that he rose again, and I'm inviting you to come in. If you'll do that, he'll do that, and you'll spend all eternity in heaven. Amen? God bless you. You're dismissed.